So on the bottom of Samach Aleph Amud Bet, towards the bottom, it says the Mishnah says that Talmidim Yotzim LeTalmud Torah. The students can go out and learn Torah. So that was when they can go out L'Chodesh, right? It says in our Mishnah that they are able to go out L'Shloshim Yom, and that implies that they are able to leave without permission. For 30 days. Gemara wants to know, Bershus Kama. If you get permission to go and learn, how long can you leave your wife to go learn?
12 years and 12 years.
Right? Kama de boy. Urcha de milsa kama. So he said, whatever she gives him permission for, what's the question, right? So the Gemara says, now urcha de milsa kama. What's a good amount of time? Like, what's the normal amount of time? Rashi says, it's interesting, Rashi says, Terachersh loisa lav chait. Right, what's an appropriate amount of time that his wife won't hold a grudge against him for leaving for so long? So the Gemara says, Amarav, Chodesh Kan, the Chodesh Babayit. Right, that it's 1 month learning and 1 month at home. I mean, you split it between your learning, half time learning and half time at home. Because when they used to go learn, they used to go away from home. Right, to go learn by the Rebbe. They used to live by the Rebbe and live, whatever that was, travel far to go to learn. And then they'd come back. So it was a month in each place. Shenamar. It says by David HaMelech, it says L'chol Dvar HaMachlokot HaBa'a B'Yotzeit Chodesh B'Chodesh L'chol Chodesh Yashana. Over there it says about how they divided up the people who service the king. And there, truthfully, the pasuk is really talking about how they divided up people based on 1 month a year. That you really only service the king 1 month a year. And then you went 11 months, you were at home. So Rashi points out that problem. So Rashi suggests that it's because of the extraneous lashon of Habavi Yotzeit Chodesh B'Chodesh. That wasn't necessary to write, because if you look in the next pasuk in Dibrei Yomim, it's pretty clear that they only went for a month and then they were rotating through. But nevertheless, just in Asmachta, that this idea that they went month to month, meaning that they went for a month and then they came back, Habavi Yotzeit. They go out for 1 month to the king, Yotzeit to the king for 1 month, and Ba, they come home for 1 month. No, you got a month of learning, and then you got to be 2 months at home. Shenamar, because it says by Shlomo HaMelech, when he's building the base of Migdash, he imposes a mas, a tax on the people, meaning that the tax is literally a tax that the people have to show up and work for him. So what's this? Chodesh yu b'Lebanon, shneim chodoshim b'beito. It was a rotation that they used to go work. This is when Hiram had already had befriended David, and then when Shlomo goes and speaks to Hiram, tells him he's going to build the base of Mikdash, Hiram offers the services of his wood choppers and the wood, the wood cutters up in the Lebanon. So Shlomo sent up his people to work with them, and Shlomo paid for his food up in the Lebanon. So the deal, the people that he sent up would go up a month to the Lebanon, and then they come home for 2 months. So that supports Rabbi Yochanan's position that you go a chodesh, a month, a reasonable amount of time to be away is 1 month, learning, and then 2 months back home. But Rav Nami, my time alone, Mahahi. So why did Rav use the proof of Rabbi Yochanan that you go for 1 month, come home for 2 months? Shiny binya beis hamikdash defshar yidei chayrim. Right, the beis hamikdash is something that other people can do, meaning that we talk about the whole idea of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash is that anybody can participate in this. Anybody can do this work of Shlomo HaMelech. So therefore, if you go out for a month, it's okay to come home for 2 months already because other people can replace you. When it comes to learning, that's not true. And you can't have other people replace you in learning, right? You have to be the one who does the learning. So therefore, Rav believes that a month here and a month back, that's what you should be doing. Rabbi Yochanan, why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan hold like Rav, who said what, 1 month here, 1 month there? Shani Hasam to Islu Arbacha. It's an interesting point. What? That the king used to pay them. And when the king paid them, they would get extra food. Meaning that the woman would benefit from her husband working for the king. So she'd be willing to forfeit a month, month to month, meaning going a month there and then a month at home, month there, month at home, because while they worked for the king, they got bonuses, extra bonuses. And therefore, they'd be willing to give up the time with their husband in order to get the nicer house, right? The extra money that they would get. When it comes to Talmud Torah, that's his mitzvah, right? That's a personal mitzvah that he has. His wife doesn't have that mitzvah. She gets, credit for supporting him, but it's not her mitzvah, so she's not going, it doesn't come as a direct benefit like the working for the king does. Therefore, she's going to object to him being away for 1 month away, 1 month home, and she's going to insist that he comes home for 2 months. Okay, Amarav. So here, someone who sighs or groans, really, right? It breaks half his body. Shaladam shnemar, because it says by Yechezkel. This is referring to the destruction of the Mikdash. It says v'ata ben adam heanach b'shivron matnayim u'bemirut leiv. That you, Yechezkel, should give out a moan or a groan, right? That breaks your loins. When we relate that it is bitter to the core, this idea that an example of what the news is going to be like when the base of Mikdash is going to be destroyed, right? Of Mivirut Tanach, I'm sorry, that you will, in bitterness, you will groan. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afko Gufo Shalotam. Not only does it break half the
verbiage,
it fills his whole, what, goof? Shanamar Vayaki Yomru Elecha Amata Nanach. So when people come to you, it says in the future, when you do this moaning or groaning, and people ask you, why are you groaning about, what is causing you to, let out this sigh, this tremendous sorrow sigh? Marta el shmua ki ba'av nimas kol leiv. Right, that it says, because of the news that I've got, and what's the news that he's going to get? The news, this is before the base of Mikdash is destroying. Hashem is telling Yechezkel to give a nevuah that what? That there, some bad news is coming. Right, they didn't believe. The people didn't believe that the base of Mikdash would be destroyed, that news would come. So Yechezkel, Hashem tells Yechezkel, tell the people in a nevuah that you're going to get the news of the big Mikdash being destroyed. And when you do that, they're going to ask you, why are you sighing and moaning and saying, because the bad news is coming. Kibav nimas kol leiv, right? And every heart will melt. Ruffle kol yadayim, and all hands will be weakened. Bechata kol ruach, right? And it will darken or weaken all spirits. Bechol birchayim telach namayim, and every knees will fall to the water. Meaning that it's something that destroys the whole body, this news or this nanach. So Rabbi Yochanan amik tiv. So again, this is machlokas Rabbi and Rabbi Yochanan. They bring psukim to prove it. Now, why don't they hold like each other? Rabbi Yochanan amik tiv b'shivron matnayim. What does Rabbi Yochanan do with the pasuk of Rav? It's funny that there are two psukim right in a row in Yechezkel. So anyway, what does Rabbi Yochanan do with the pasuk of Rav? That it sounds like only chatzi gufa. Ay dechi mitchala mitnayim mitchala. That meaning what? It starts from the loins. I mean that when the groan or the pain comes, that's where it starts from. That's where it starts. Not that means the extent of it, but that's where it starts from. Rav, doesn't Rav have the posuk of Rabbi Yochanan? It sounds like it destroys, it wrecks your whole body. So shiny shmua the base of Mikdash the takifa tufa. The news of the base of Mikdash is what is so great that what that it causes this type of pain. That's not the normal when someone gives out a sigh or sorrow. That one feels that way. That's something so great as the base of Mikdash being destroyed. That's something that destroys the whole body. But normally, it would only destroy half the body. So there was this Jew and non-Jew walking on the way, together. Right, he couldn't keep up with him. He was unable to keep up with the Jew. So he wanted to do something to slow the Jew down. So ad kurei churban beis hamikdash. So he reminds him about the churban beis hamikdash, because the churban is something that it tears the heart of every Jew, and therefore he reminds him of the churban beis hamikdash, and what he thought that would slow him down. Nagi v'idnach, right? That he was pained by it, and he gave out a great sigh of sorrow. Right? Afilu achi lo imtzei olicham l'skui b'adei. Still couldn't catch up with him, even after he felt this pain, the beis hamikdash destroying. He couldn't keep up with him. Amalei lava mitu anocha shuvaret chatzik gufo shel adam. I guess your rabbis say that the groan or moan will destroy half the person's body. Amalei, hani milsei chadate. That's new news. When you get new news of ahad the shonen ba lo, but something you've already heard before, even though it causes pain to hear it again, it doesn't have the impact. Doesn't have the what the tokef of hearing it for the first time. Damprinche de malfe tichle lo bato. That someone who is tichle here comes from. Shakul, someone who loses children on a regular basis is not as shocked by it. Meaning if she's used to losing children, a woman who's used to losing children will not be as shocked by it the next time it happens or when it happens on regular. So anything that happens on a regular occurrence or something that's happened before does not have that type of impact. And of course, this is the importance by Tisha B'Av, right, that the Gemara there, the Gemara. Tanis talks about that's Avelus Yeshana, right? That's old Avelus, not Avelus Chadasha. I mean, that there's a difference. Avelus Chadasha, what has an emotional impact of something immediately happening here, something proximate. One loses a family member, Chas V'Shalom, right? Then that's an immediate impact on the individual. That you have Avelus Chadasha, that doesn't need any preparation for, because what? The emotional impact is right there. It's immediate. You feel it. You don't need anybody to tell you to feel that pain. Whereas when it comes to the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, like this individual said, well, that's old news already. Right? It's not that you've heard already. So therefore, the emotional impact is lessened each time that you hear it. And therefore, how do we get in the proper mode for Tisha B'Av? That's something that takes tremendous preparation. Avelus Yishona cannot happen spontaneously, because the emotions, right, need to be built up. And that's why I think the Rav's famous vort about the idea of the Avelus that we have prior to Tisha B'Av leading up, becoming stronger and stronger Avelus. Right, that the 3 weeks are the equivalent of Shana afterwards. The 9 days are really the Shavuot Shechavo is the equivalent of Chodesh, right? The Shloshim, and then Tisha B'Av itself is equivalent to Shiva, or the 3 days before. So why would you do it in reverse? Normally, when you have Avelus Chadash, it goes and it, you know, the Cholech and the Dodel, right? It goes downwards. The Avelus, the intensity of the Avelus diminishes. So how come over here we have the intensity of the Avelus, right, increasing over time? That's the idea, that by an Avelus Chadosh, that's a spontaneous emotion, right? That's something nobody needs to tell you. What we need to help the person do is reintegrate into society, to how the pain leave, and then come back to having a normal life, to going on with their lives, right? Even after the death. But here, by Avelus Yishona, by the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, right? We go every day, we go on with the, right, the feeling of the Binyan Beis Hamikdash. Here we have to engender that emotion. So how do we engender that emotion? By intensifying the Avelus. We build up towards Tisha B'Av. We try to intensify and to reacquaint ourselves with that loss of the Beis Hamikdash. Therefore, we need to have the intensity of Avelus increase towards the destruction of the Mikdash. And so again, this Gemara points to that point, that the news of the Beis Hamikdash, when it was first destroyed, it was so powerful, it would just, you know, it would hurt the entire body. I mean, it would be so overwhelming, the news. But yet, afterwards, when he tells him about it, the guy tells the Jew about it, he says, I've already heard it before. Does not have that intense emotional impact on him, and therefore, we have to make those efforts to reach those emotional feelings and to reacquire those feelings of loss that are associated with the Beis Hamikdash. And I would just even point out here, even the guy, even though it was old for him, he still groaned. When the guy mentioned the Beis Hamikdash, he still groaned. We should only be at that level. Tayalim b'chol yom. My tayalim. It said in the Mishnah that the owner of tayalim are every day. What's a tayal? So, Amarav b'nei Pirkei. These are Talmidei Chachamim that learn in their hometown. I mean that their yeshiva is where they live. So therefore, they come home every night. So Amar Lebay Mantech Tibu, right? The ones that are written about them. Shav Lechem Mashkim Eku Machrei Shevet Ochle Lechem Atzavim Kini Ten Lididu Sheina. So what's the pasuk says that Shav Lechem, that it's worthless. Those that get up early and come back late. Ochle Lechem Atzavim, they work so hard to get their bread, right? And it's the bread, you know, it's a hard won bread. So it's all worthless. Hashem takes care of those that are close to him, Shena, right? He'll give them food, he'll give them mazon. I mean that those that follow in Hashem's ways will get their mazon in an easier fashion, rather than those that work so hard to get their mazon. So here the Rabbi Yitzchak does what? I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, Elinu Shetem Shal Tamidei Chachamim. These are the wives of the Tamidei Chachamim, Shem Nadot, Shena Meineim, Valamazeh, Ubot L'Chayelam Abba. That they sleep less in this world, and therefore they end up in the Chayel Amava. So he uses a play on the words, Yidido is Nadad, Shena, sleep. Meaning that those that lose sleep, Hashem takes care of those that, what, lose sleep. Why are the women losing sleep? Because they have to wait up late for their husbands in order to, right, to have their own with their husbands. Their husbands get up early in the morning to go learn the base of Medrash and come home late at night. And therefore they have to lose sleep. I mean, one of two ways. You could have said why they lose sleep from the fact that what? That they have to fill in for their husbands. Their husbands are away from morning, all early in the mornings to late at night, right? And for the women of those that go out, the wives of those that go out to work, and they stay, it's all the shav, meaning, what mitzvah are they getting? They're not getting a mitzvah for waiting up late and taking care of everything in the household while their husbands go out to work and make a parnasa, right? What's the end? What's the reward? The hard-won parnasa, that's it. But these women who wait up for their husbands are going to learn early in the mornings, come home late at night. Their reward is what? They get chayilam abal, for waiting up late for their husbands and taking care of all the needs of the household. So there's a tremendous reward, right, for them. But I think that here also the Gemara, I think Rashi learns this way, is that Well, that they wait up late for their ona, that they have to wait very late for their ona, and they get rewarded for that in the chayilam above for letting their husbands learn for so long. But again, what do you see? You see that b'nei birke, even those that learned in their hometown, they weren't around all the time because they came home so late at night. So how could you suggest that tayalim b'chol yom, that their tayalim, the Mishnah says their ona is every day? That doesn't seem possible in this situation. Amar b'nei birke elam rabbi, everybody suggests what's tayalim k'derav. Damar rav k'on rav Shmuel bar Shilat. Right, Rav says, who's a tayal? Like Rav Shmuel bar Shilat. To acho, Rav Shmuel bar Shilat was a teacher of young children. To acho mididei v'shatet mididei. He used to make his parnasa from teaching the young children. So he used to make his own parnasa. V'gani betulu devam pandei. And he would come home every night. V'lo cholif priskata demalka bavei. But he didn't make a wonderful living, meaning that he wasn't rich or wealthy where the government would come looking after him to get taxes, because they didn't think of him as a wealthy individual where they could extract a lot of money from him. Right, so he made a decent living, he made a nice living, but he was home every night. Right, so therefore he's the type of person that has strength or koach to have his tashmish each night, to have omna each night. So that's who we're referring to. Akiyata Rabin, Amar, Rabin suggests, Amar kigom mefanke de maoropa. Like those mefunakim in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, those that are healthy and well-fed, those that come out of Eretz Yisrael. So now, the Gemara gives two stories which don't seem to be connected, and I assume that the Gemara might be suggesting that these are the mefanke me'arova. Those are the, even though they learned Torah in Eretz Yisrael, that they were still strong. And we'll see that the two cases here of the strength of the Mori and Rebo. But Kaibe Bani, he was in the bathhouse. Havasamchale Tre Abde, his two avadim were holding him up, meaning that he was being helped along into the bathhouse. Now, I don't know if you go up north, you can see him in different places, that how the bathhouses today are constructed. It's amazing to go up and learn this Gemara right there. But the way the bathhouses worked was that they had a floor that sat on small pillars. It was raised off the ground slightly, and then the hot water used to run underneath the floor. So that would either it would give up a steam, and then also go to a water pool where there was a bath. So what happens here? Ifriske baybani mitutei. The floor collapses. I mean, that the floor collapses, you can see it. If you go to these bathhouses, these old bathhouses that are still, right, in existence up north, right, from the excavations that they've done, you see what? That the floor, when it collapsed, what would have happened? They would have fallen into the scalding hot water, because that was running underneath the floor there. So the ifkes baybani mitutei, idramele amudo, he was able to hold on to one of the pillars. The floor was held up by a whole section of pillars. You could see it. Again, that's what's left. The floors, most of the floors, not there. The floors aren't there. It's the pillars that are left today. Right? Salik Vaskinu. He was able to get up, climb, hold himself up on one of the pillars. Plus, he was able to hold up both of his avodim. He was able to pull them up as well. So here, he was being helped before by these two avodim. And yet, when he fell, he was able to lift everybody up. Right? So, Rabbi Yochanan. So what do you see is tremendous, you know, strength here. Even though he was learning Torah and he needed to be helped, he still had that strength. And those are the Mefanke Devar. Rabbi Yochanan Abba Kasolik Bedarga. Right, he was climbing up either a ladder or stairs. Avzamchle Rav Ami Rav Asi. Rav Ami Rav Asi were helping him go up the ladder. They were supporting him. Ifchas Darga today, right, the stair or the ladder, this way he was getting up, collapsed under him. Salik, right, Vaskinu, he was able to hold on, and then he was able to help the two of them as well. Amalei Rabbana and Sarvami and Vasi, you know, look at him and say, Mi achar dahachi, lamalei lemismache, right? I mean, if you're so strong that you can get hold yourself up and the two of us up, why are we helping you up the ladder? What's going on here? I mean, what do you need our help for? So Amalei, he said to them, I have to save some of my strength when I get older. I mean, that's, you know, this is a one-time thing where I can exert this type of strength or this type of effort, right? So, but, you know, normally, if I do this on a regular basis, then I'm not going to have any strength left for when I'm older. All right. Apollim, right, those are the workers, right? It sounds like day laborers. Shtayim v'Shabbos. Down towards the two dots at the bottom. Apollim v'Shtayim v'Shabbos, the workers get to own us twice a week. V'ha Tanya, Apollim achas v'Shabbos. We have a brace that says that the laborers get our ona is once a week. Right? So Amar Biosi Rebuchanina Lokasha Kanbo Simalocha Bi Iran, Kanbo Simalocha Bi Archeres. Right? When they work in their own city, when the laborers work in their own city, then they own us twice a week. When they work in a different city, right, then it's once a week. Tayyan Amiyachi, we have a brace that support this. Apolim Shtayim B'Shabbos. Apolim, their ona is twice a week. Bamed, Vaimamurim. When is this true? That's when they work in their own city, meaning that they're close to home. If they go away for their, if they go back to the U.S. for their parnosa, achas b'shabbos, right, once a week. I mean, both from a practical standpoint, because right, they're not here, they're just not here. But that's enough. So, Tosfos deals with a little bit in our Mishnah that the poalim, right? We said before that they're allowed to leave for 1 week without permission, right? Poalim shabbos achas can leave without for 1 week without permission of their wives. So what, of course, achas b'shabbos. I mean, if the Mishnah says that once a week, then what does it mean that they can leave for a week without the permission of their wives? The Tosfos deals with what does it mean to get permission, not to get permission. Are there really three categories? One category is, you know, if you work in your own city. One category is if you go out with permission for, you know, for you can go for a week, for once a week, you have to be back for once a week. Or if you go out without permission, then it's on the eighth day. Or the Reed says maybe it's only two categories. It's either you're away for a week or you're here every day. Those are the two categories. So discuss it. What's the chiyuv ona for the poal? All right. Chamarim achas b'shabbos. These are people who travel from city to city. They're not long distance. As long distance travelers, meaning that they're able to come back, you know, every once a week. Amar le Rabba Bar Chana. So the chamarim are what, once a
week.
Chamarim achas b'shabbos, once a week, right? Because they're able to return. They go traveling around the cities, but they're able to return home. Amalei Rabba Bar Rav Chanan Labai Ichpil Tana Leishmunim Taya Lepoel. I mean, what the Tana already told us that you're allowed to leave right for work without permission it says before that the Poalim can leave for a week and the Talmid Chachamim can leave for a month. So why do you need to? Why did the Mishnah go back and repeat their ona afterwards? So Amalei Lo Akulu. Right, that's going on all of them. Right, so then it's going on all the above, right? That if he, again, we said above, what, that if a person takes a net there not to allow his wife to get hanas tashmish from him, that he waits a week, right, and then he has to divorce her. According to Bezel, he waits 2 weeks, and then he divorces her. So why does the Tana have to come back and teach us what the onas are of these individuals? Meaning that, who are the ones that are affected by this, right? That is a poel and a tayal, who are required to what? To have ona once a week, right? A chamar who has to
more than
right, or either more than once a week or right once a week for the. So why is it that the Tana came to tell us about these individuals? Why do they have to tell us? Meaning that the chamar and the svina, the safan that goes out the sailor, their ona is once every six months or once every week, past a week. So then, the relevance of taking a nether that she can't have hanas tashmis from him isn't relevant until his owner shows up. Meaning that if a safan, if a sailor takes a nether that he's not going to have hanas tashmis from his wife, right, that why is that relevant after a week or after 2 weeks? Meaning that it's not relevant for another 6 months because he has no chiyuv owner for 6 months. So why not wait 6 months? So the Mishnah goes, why did the Tana tell us about that he has to divorce her after a week or after 2 weeks? To teach us about what? About a tayal or a poel whose ona is within that period. Right? Doesn't make sense. And the Gemara says, no, that's going on to everybody. Even a safan, even someone whose ona is a longer period of time than that, still only gets 1 week or 2 weeks. Shisha chadoshim kamar. Doesn't it say by safan, by a sailor, he has 6 months. Ain't no dumb, mishesh lo papasolo, mishesh lo papasolo. No, if his wife is married, knows that she's what entitled to her ona, then she'll be okay. She'll know that he may come back any time, and then she'll have her ona. But if he definitely takes a net there that of hanas tashmish, it doesn't matter when he comes home. He's never going to get her ona. Then for a sailor, after a week or 2 weeks, when his wife feels that estranged feeling already, then he needs to give her a divorce. If he married her, this is a great question. This is a question I'm saying. He married her. He was only a what? He was a city traveler, Vanasa Gamal, and then he became a desert traveler, right? So meaning now his ona is extended, meaning that when he married her, she had married him on the assumption or the agreement that what? He was coming back every week. Now he's a Gamal, so only comes back once every month, right? So Amalei wrote to Isha Bekav, Tiflus, Masara Kabim, Prishus. It's amazing, right? It's a principle, what? That a woman would rather have a Kav, have less money, Vitiflos, and have her husband around, being able to be engaged with her husband. Masara coming, then have more money, Uprishus, and have her husband away. So that the general assumption is what? that a woman would not accept this change.
So therefore she has to give her approval.
Right, she has to give her approval, right? He couldn't do it against her will. Based on this principle that we assume that the woman would rather have her husband around than have the greater monetary benefit. So that's a, so otherwise, I mean, again, this is going, versus going without permission versus permission. Hasfanim achad l'shisha chadoshim divi Rabbi Elezer amar Rav Brona amar Rav aloha k'Rabbi Elezer aloha is like Rabbi Elezer. This is the position of Rabbi Elezer. Tamechan to leave for 2 or 3 years to learn without permission. Without permission. Amarava means that they didn't have to marry with that condition. Amarava samchu rabbanon ad rav. The rabbanon at somechan rav's position. They learned like rav to leave. I mean that they did it. And they really they take their lives into their own hands. Used to go before Rava and Mechuza. Meaning that they were so mechan Rav Ada Ba'ada to leave their wives without permission. But when they left their wives without permission, it was fatal in some instances. There was grave dangers in doing this. Why? He learned by Rav and Mechuza. He used to come back every Erev Yom Kippur. Once a year, Erev Yom Kippur, he used to come home. Right? Yom Echad, Meshachtei Shmaita. Right? So one week he was drawn in by his learning. Right? Avasachia Debitu. Right? That his wife was anticipating his return. It's her once a year visit. Right? Her once a year visit, and he was late. Hashta'ati, he's coming. Lo'ata, and he didn't end up coming. He got so caught up in his learning that he didn't come home that day, and he stayed for Yom Kippur Barova. Chalash Data, she, you know, became weakened by it. She was distraught by the fact that he hadn't returned. Achas Dim Osam Eina, one teardrop dropped out of her eyes. Havayotiv Igra, he was sitting on the roof or upstairs. Ifchis Igra Mitute, the roof collapsed under him. Benach Nafshei, and he passed away. So this is again that he took. I mean that it's the danger of going away without permission for these long periods of time is that the woman, right, is in a state of being where anything can make her cry so badly for this for the want of her husband, and that can cause the death of her husband because Hashem listens to the cry of these women. Again, but they did it. It was interesting. They still did it. They still went without permission to learn. But they had to, and we're going to see more stories about the risks and how to handle these situations. Onus of Talmidei Chachamim Emas. The Talmidei Chachamim, what's the onus of a Talmid Chacham? Zamar Yudah Meshmul Me'erev Shabbos, Le'erev Shabbos, from one week to another. Asher Piryo Yitain Bito, because they have their pre is given in its time. Meaning that's the appropriate time. Why is that the appropriate time? So Rashi says, what's Me'erev Shabbos, Le'erev Shabbos? Shushu Le'el Tanug. Right, it's a night of Tanug, of pleasures, meaning earthly pleasures, shvito and resting, vanasa guf, and taking care of the body. I mean, that's why, but on Shabbos, right, those that learn all week, the Mishpah brings down, we bring it down the halacha, what? Those that learn all week should take extra care on Shabbos to have more physical pleasures. I mean, they should make sure to have a little more pleasure on Shabbos and take care of their bodies, eat a little more, sleep a little more, because that's the for them, the Shabbos has that physical aspect to it, because they're in Ruchani all week, they're learning all week. And the opposite is true for what? For those that work all week, those that are involved in the physical and the gashmi all week, they should make sure on Shabbos to do more ruchni. They should learn more. They should spend more time in learning. So we're here too. So Talmidei Chacham Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. That's the Friday night. The Shabbos is the appropriate time for them to, right, take on, the body is healthier. They're taking on more gashmi. They're appropriate for them to have more hanasa guf. Therefore, that's the proper time for them to have their ona. Sorry, that was a Asher Piryo Yitain Mito. That's the explanation of that pasuk, is that one who is Mishamish has relations, Me'erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. Yehuda, Braid Rabbi Chiya, Chatnet Rabbi Yanai. So Yehuda, so here we're going to have another story about dangers. Yehuda was the son of Rabbi Chiya, Chatnet was the son-in-law of Rabbi Yanai. Have Azvi Yotib Veirav. He used to go learn every week, and he'd come back every Erev Shabbos. When he was coming back, there was a pillar of fire that came before him. Right, the greatness of Yehuda, Breda, Rabbi Chiya. One Erev Shabbos, he was drawn by his learning. came into Lochazi, right? So his father-in-law didn't see him. He says, "How simana?" I'm sorry, came into Lochazi simana. He didn't see this pillar of fire coming before him. Amalu Rabbi Yanai, kafu mitato, turn over his bed, flip over his bed, which was a sign of what? Avelubs, right? Shimala Yehuda kayim lo bital onato, because if he was still alive, he would not come back. He wouldn't have missed his chance to come back to his wife. Right? So that's it. Avai kishkiga shiotza miflea shalit. Right? We had this, again, this is in Ksubos. We had earlier in Ksubos, we had it in Tinus as well. That it was like a mistake that came out of the mouth of the leader, meaning that once you've said it, there's no way to retract it. And since Rabbi Yonah have a kach v'nachnav shein, he died. Meaning that we have other instances by Shmuel, the story by Shmuel in Tinus, by his nails, cutting his nails. So anyway, what do you see again? The dangers of going away and not coming back on time. That, you know, that the risk is that when the wife is expecting or when they're expecting you, and you don't come back on time, right? Those are the dangers of going away. So it's amazing, right? So Rabbi Yanai was expecting his son-in-law. He was expecting his son-in-law back to take care of his daughter. Rabbi Yasik lay the brave bay Rabbi Chia. It's another great story. Rabbi was trying to take care of his son by the house of Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia was one of his talmidim, so he was marrying off. He's trying to marry off his son to one of the daughters of Rabbi Chia. Kimat l'michtav tuvo. Right, when they went to write the ksuba, nachnav shei de revisa, and the nachshav de revisa, the young lady passed away. Right, so Amar Rabbi Chas v'shalom psula ika. So maybe there's a psul here. Maybe Hashem was trying to prevent this marriage from happening. Yadivu v'ainu b'mishpachot. They went back and checked the yichus. Right, Rabbi Yasi mishaftiyah ben avita. He came from the family, one of the wives of David. Right, so he was part of the Davidic line. For Rabbi Chiyat mishimi achi David. Right, he came from Shimi, the brother of David. Right, he wasn't part of the Davidic line. He was from Ishai, but he wasn't from the Davidic line. So Rashi learns that it was inappropriate that someone from the Davidic line should marry someone from outside the Davidic line. So now, I mean, Marsha points out over here that seems a little, you know, it seems strange, because in general we don't say that someone who is based David, Melech based David, has to marry somebody from within the lineage of David. We never have such a requirement. We never see any such thing. So Marsha says, Lule Rashi, had Rashi not interpreted this way, he would have said what? They were checking out to see what, if there was something wrong with the girl that they couldn't marry. What was wrong? So they checked with the Yichus, and the Yichus checked that okay. Meaning that they were both from Ishai. That was okay. The Yichus was okay. That wasn't the reason. All right, that's what Marshall says. It doesn't read so well with the Gemara, I have to admit, but the Marshall says the opposite of what Rashi says over here.
Shlomo Melech didn't marry from
Right. I mean, he had many wives, and they weren't from right?
A thousand times.
Right. He didn't necessarily marry from the Davidic line. Right. I mean, the Marshall points out that it seems inconsistent, so I don't know.
Well, actually, he did marry from royal houses many times.
And he couldn't marry from Beit Kam.
Right. Also, he saw Isik the Brei, Be Rabbi Yosef ben Zimru. So then he went to try to marry off his son. He went to Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra's house. Right? So then, listen to this. Paskulei Tarte Sari Shnin. So the condition of the ksuba was that he'd go learn for 12 years beforehand. But he'd get married, and then he'd leave for 12 years to go learn. Right? That was it. The Mesel de Bei Rav. So that he would go to learn for 12 years. So Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra, they were smart. So what did they do? They said, you know, he wants to get married, then go learn for 12 years. Marshall also points out over here, what's the 12 years? Because if he gets married at 18, 12 years brings him to 30, which is Shloshim Lekoach. So the key years to learning are from those period up to the age 30. So that's why they had if you see all these cases here, you're going to see that they did it for 12 years. Seeing that they got married at 18, and then for 12 years they went to learn, get him to 30. Although we saw that they were getting married much younger. I don't know if that's only the girls who get married at 12, 12 and a half. Maybe the boys got married a little older. All right. So they agreed to 12 years. Achlefua kamei. They brought the bride in front of him. They passed her in front of him. Amalo nehavushitchnin. Let's reduce it to 6 years. Then he caught wind of the bride and he said, let's get it down to 6 years. Achlefua kamei. So they had her walk in front of him again. Amalo ichnis. V'hadar yisel. First off, we'll get married. I'll have nisuin and then I'll go and learn. Right. So the son of Rebbe was embarrassed. He was embarrassed because his father's trying to negotiate this big 12-year deal for him. Then they move the bride in front of him, and he starts reducing the amount of time of learning. And then finally he says, you know what? Let me get married right now. So I'm like, don't worry. Das konechish b'cha. You're just like a Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's similar to what a Kaddish Baruch Hu did. Why? Mi karaktiv. It says, what in Az Yoshim, Tivi emu, betita emu, right? It says what? They will come to their land, then they'll get planted in their land, and then what? They'll build the Beis HaMikdash. Right? So that Hashem planned on waiting for the Beis HaMikdash to be Shor Shechina for many years. Well, Softiv, what happens in the end? Vasuli Mikdash, Vishachanti Bitocham. That Hashem ends up having the Mishkan be built and be Matra the Shechina, right on the spot. And that's what the Marshal points out, that what? That Har Sinai was the Erusin, and then the Nisuin were what? Were the Migdash. So originally, what was the plan? That they'd have Erusin, right? They had Erusin at Har Sinai, and the Nisuin wouldn't be until they entered Eretz Yisrael, until they settled down in Eretz Yisrael, way off on the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. In the end, Hashem, what? Did what? He made it back. Says what? That the Mishkan is, well, let's have my Shekhinah right away. So he pulled up the Nisuin. So he says, you're just like Hashem. Right? You didn't want to wait for the Nisuin, you pulled it up. Now the Marshal points out over here that, well, how could it be that the Mishkan was a rectification of the Egel, so on and so forth. That wasn't the original plan. But I think you could learn, possibly like the Ramban, that the Ramban believed that it was Mi'ikara, that it was something that was something that Hashem wanted the Chatchila to have the Mishkan, that the Shekhinah should be Shorah and B'nai Yisrael. And the idea was that, you know, if they were going to wander, if they were going to go into Eretz Yisrael right away, the need for the Mishkan was very limited. They're going to already wander around the Midbar, then Hashem says, let me have a Shekhinah right away in the Mishkan so that I can do what I would have done in the Mikdash inside of Eretz Yisrael. All right. Also, Yotiv Tartei Sari Shanei B'vei Rav. He went and learned for 12 years. Ad Ata Iakra Debitu. Right, his wife became an Akora in the meantime. So, Amar Rebbe, Heichi Navid. What can we do now? The Garsha, they're going to get divorced. Ad Yom Rani Azul Shav Shimra. What, she waited for 12 years, now he dumps her because, you know, she gave him a car. Ninsa Vita Dachrite. What, I'm going to go marry a second wife? Right, Yom Ruzu Ishtu Vizu Zonato. This is his real wife because he's going to have children with her, and this is his kind of his zone on the side. So, Boyla Rachme Bitsiat. He asked for Rachme, Dam to Hashem, and she was cured of being an Akara, and they would have children. Rabbi Chananya ben Hachinai.
What does it say about multiple, about marrying more than one person?
What do you mean? The problem wasn't here that they're married. The problem was that she was unable to have children. So he wasn't, right. I mean, that it would look bad because he's marrying a second wife because it's clear that she can't have children. And so she waited 12 years. So this is his kind of, right, his zone on the side. Right, Rabbi Chananya ben Hachinai, Rabbi Ka'azul be Rav, B'shulei Ulei Rabbi Shimba Yochai. So Rabbi Chananya ben Hachinai was leaving to go learn in the base of Medrash at the end of the Sheva Brachos of Rabbi Shimba Yochai, towards the end, already after, right after his wedding, but before the Sheva Brachos were over. Amalei Yaakiv liyad ati v'adoch. Rabbi Shimba Yochai says, and wait, I'll come with you. Oh, Yaakiv, he said, nah, I'm not going to wait for you. He goes. Also, Yotiv Trei Sari Shani Bebei Rav. He went and learned for 12 years. Adi ati yishtane shvili demato. Well, when he came back, the city already had changed, right? You know, he was here in Beit Shemesh 12 years ago. Went to learn, he comes back, he has no idea. He didn't know how to get home. He didn't know where his house was, right? Also, Yatev Aguda Denaro, he went and sat on the edge of the river. Shomalai Revita Davakarilo, they heard of this young maiden, they were calling her Bat Hachinai. The daughter of Hachinai, Mali Kulateh, fill up your jug. Ta'azil, and come home, right? Come back. So he knew what? That she was part of his family. Right, even though his father's name was Hachinai, and they were calling her the daughter of Hachinai, so you could say, what, B'nei Bonim, Hariyem Kebonim, right? Or you could say, what, in his absence, his father was bringing up his daughter. So therefore they called her the daughter of Hachinai. So Amar Shmaminai, Revita Didon, this is part of my family, she's one of mine. Also Batra, he went after her. Also Yativa Debitu, I mean, how about Yativa Debitu, Kanala Kimcho, his wife was sitting and sifting or sieving flour. Dalina Chazinte, she lifted up her eyes and saw her husband was there. Savi Libo, right? She was shocked. She was in. She was overcome by overwhelmed that he was there. Parach Rucha, and she died on the spot, right, from the shock of seeing her husband. Had a heart attack. Amar Lafana Ribono Shalom Aniazu Aniazes Chara. This is the reward for this woman who waited, 12 years, and then she died upon seeing him come home. He had to ask for Rachamim, and she came back to life. Rabbi Chama Bar Bisa Azal Yotiv Trei Sari Shani Bebei Midrash. So Chia Bar, the son of Rabbi Chama, the son of Rabbi Bisa, which will come significant later on, went and sat 12 years in learning. Kiat Amar Lo Iavi Kedavi Ben Chachinai. I'm going to be smarter. I'm not going to do like Rabbi Chachinai and all of a sudden show up after 12 years. Because when Ben Hatinai showed up, right, what happened? His wife died because she was shocked. So says, I'm not going to do the same thing. I'm going to take it easy on her. I'm going to come in slowly. Right, so again, by the way, just to note that these are all cases where, you know, again, this idea that they used to leave, here it sounds like they even left with permission. But even if they left without permission, the dangers of coming, you know, many of these times their wives ended up being in Akara, ended up dying, right, all these things. So he went to the local Beit Medrash. Instead of going home, he goes to the local Beit Medrash. Shach lebeite, he sent to his house for someone to come, so they could know that he was there. At Raboshia Berei, his son Raboshia comes, Yotiv Kamei. Right, he came and sat in front of him. He was asking him in Torah. He was talking in Torah with his son. He didn't know it was his son, but he was talking in Torah. He saw that he was very sharp, that he really knew his Torah. Right, he was overcome. He was distraught. Why? If I had stayed home, then I would have had children like this that learned so well. He went into his house to see his wife. His son came in after him. So what? He got up. He stood up for his son. Why? He thought he's coming back in to learn with him, to ask him Torah. So he stood up for him when he came in. His wife says, when does a father stand up for his son? Why is the father standing up for his son over here? So Rami Bar Chama says about him, about Ben Achinai, Achuta Mishulash Lo Bimehira Yinatek, Zerab Oshia, Beno Shurabi Chama Barbisa. This is the next case, right, of Rabbi Chama Barbisa. This is this Rav Oshia, because they had three generations of Talmud Torah. So again, part of this is either because Barbisa taught his grandson Rav Oshia, because he was away. Right, Rabbi Chama was away learning. So who taught him? His grandfather. That's what Mechuta Shrulash Lo Behera Yinatek, that his grandfather was able to teach the grandson, and that's why you have the three ply string doesn't rip easily. So this was pointed out that three of them were alive at the same time. And we have cases in other places in the Gemara where Oshia and Rabbi Chama are arguing, and they go to Bisa, their grandfather, to ask a question, who's right? They go to talk to him in Torah. And then that's also, we also have the principle that in Baba Metzia, Kevin Shadam Lomate, who, Beno, Ben Beno, then we learn that out from Uvalatium. Right, we say, Ani Zobiti, Asher Malacha, right, that it loish Torah Mipicham, Mizaracha, Mizera Zaracha. Once you have three generations of what? Three generations of Limud Torah, that is, then Torah does not leave. And even though in general we have a principle, what, that Torah is not any Yerushalach, but nevertheless, what, over here, once you have three generations of Torah, it's more likely that you will have that.
Right. Yeah, because they will help each other. Right. That's the stuff.
Right, you know, the grandfather can help out, can learn with the grandmother. Yeah, there's definitely Torah within the family. Okay, here, it's a great story. Maybe we'll try to get through a little bit of it, and then we have an extra 5 minutes. This is the unbelievable story. But who knows, Rabbi Kiva, Raya the Ben Kabbasuva. Rabbi Kiva was the shepherd of Kabbal Savua. He's one of the Ashir Yerushalayim, right, that could have supported all of Yerushalayim at the time of the destruction of the Mikdash. Kabbal Savua, he was called this because anybody entered his house as hungry as a dog, left satisfied, right, very wealthy. However, Chazite Brati David Sneel Malay, she saw that he was Sanua and that he had great Midos. Whatever, again, what exactly that means is, meaning that in general, Chazal, through the Mishnah and other places, use the word snua to refer to people who are makbidim on mitzvos, who are very, you know, who are not snuim like we know it, like snua as being, humble or, miskaseh, but rather people who are medaktik in mitzvos, who care about the word of Hashem, are very careful about others and considerate of others. Those are called snuim. Right? Snuim male. If I get engaged to you, if I get married to you, will you go learn? So Amalayin, of course. So Ikdishalay Bitsina, she privately got married to him, Bishadartwe, and then she sent them off to go learn. Shamavua, her father got wind of it, Afkum Ibeta, he threw her out of the house. Adro Anoam Inikse, and he took a neder that she can get no hanoa from his neder. He disinherited her throughout, and there are other stories in I think the Darim. Other places where they were living in a stable, a horse stable. That's where they used to live. She used to live, sleep on the floor of a horse stable. Also, Yatim Treshan and Bebe Rav. She went and learned for 12 years in the base of Medrash. Kiata Aitibade Treshari Alfi Tomide. Came home with 12,000 students. So Shame the house Saba the Kamar La. He heard, overheard, when he got home, he overheard this older gentleman or saying to his wife, Ad Kamwa Kamidaberet Amanut Chaim. How long are you going to lead a life right, of a living widow. So Amrale, she says to him, had he listened to me, I would have told him to stay another 12 years. So Amr b'shus kavina, he goes, I got the salute. He went back for another 12 years to learn, right? Because he had permission. He got permission for 12 years, right? Many of the Bali Musar point out here that he didn't go and say hi to his wife and then go back, because the power of Ritzifus, the power of learning on a consistent basis without breaking it up, without that coming home, was more powerful. So if had he gone into his house and spent with his wife and then done 12 years, then it would have been 12 years and 12 years. But the fact that he didn't go home and goes back to the base metrics, then it became 24 years. There's that compounding effect of being it right on a consistent basis. That's the idea of consistency and not missing out and not losing out. All right.
There's a flip side also.
Right.
When you look at the Talmidim, because they didn't see the relationship between the husband and wife.
Oh, you're going to see that in a second?
Oh.
That's the next Gemara, right? So I should have been Rav Ki Ata Ata Bade Esrim Barbal Fe Talmidim. So not even have 12,000 students, it comes back with 24,000 students. That's the Gemara in Yevamos. Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students, right, and they passed away. Ben Atzeres, Ben Pesach Atzeres, all right. Afet Shani. Shama the Bitu Dava Kanafka. I mean, Havas Kanafko. Sorry, that he was coming. Havas. I'm sorry. So Shama the Bitu Dava Kanafko the Apet. She was going out to greet him. His wife heard that he was coming. Amalei Shivusa. Her neighbor said to her, Shilemani Levush Vichse. Borrow some clothing, at least so you don't, you're like in tattered clothing here. Here's a big time, he's coming back, your husband's coming back. At least dress nicely for him when he's coming back. So Amr Lahu, she said to them, Yodea Tzadik Nefesh Bemto. A tzadik knows the travails of his animals. I mean, he knows what I gave up for him to be there. He doesn't need to see me all dressed up. He knows, first of all, I married him when he was a shepherd. Right, he had nothing also at that time. And number two is he knows what I gave up for him to learn for the 24 years. Kimachi le gabe nafla la pa. She falls on her face. Become nashkale the car. He was kissing his feet, kissing his knees, his legs. I become a dakalu shmaya. Right, his servants were pushing him away. They were his people were servicing him, pushed away his wife. Said, who's this woman that's coming over and kissing his feet? Amalo shafkua, leave her alone. Shalim shalachem shalahu. All our learning is my learning, your learning is all in her schlus, because she's the one who gave me permission to go learn for all these years, and that's why we have I am who I am, and that's why you are who you are. Shamavua. So her father heard, Ata Gavarabba Lamata, big Talmid Chacham's coming to the city. Ata Izalagabe, he went to visit with the big Talmid Chacham, get a bracha, see him learning. Debsha the Mayfar Nidrais, then he could get, listen to this, he's going to say he can get the nether undone. So Ata the Gabe, he comes before Rabbi Akiva Amalei Adata the Gavarabba, Amina Dart. Did you, when you took this nether, were you thinking about, big time with Chacha? Amalei afilu perak echad, if he had just learned one perak, afilu halacha achas, he says, Amalei, Rabbi Kiva looks at him and says, Anahu, I'm the one who married her. Like he had no idea that it was Rabbi Akiva was the one who said. So yeah, Tosus deals with Nedarim here, how can you be Matir Nether? It's no blood, right? When something changes afterwards, you're not allowed to be, you're only Matir Nether. So he says, when he made the Nether, you see from his statement over here, when he made the Nether, the reason he took the Nether, implicit in the Nether, was because she was marrying someone who wasn't a Talmid Chacham. So that was implicit, like almost an explicit statement of the condition was because she did. Meaning, had she done, married a Talmid Chacham, it would be okay. And she did marry a Talmid Chacham, right? So now fall Ape Benashki Al Karei. So now she falls on his feet and kisses them, right? And Kabba Sabua. I'm sorry. He does what his daughter did. One second. V'yavilei Pagam Emunah, gives him half of his possessions. So Bratei the Rabbi Akiva of the Ben Azai Chachi. Ben Azai, the daughter of Rabbi Akiva, did the same thing for Ben Azai. V'ani Damrei Inche Rechela Bata Rechela Azla. Right, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Right, that's interesting because Rachel was the name of Rabbi Akiva's wife. Right, so Rachel by Rachel is a play on the words of Rachel bat Rachel Azla. Govdei ima kachov de brata, just like the mother did, so did the daughter do. As points out that the Gemara, I think it's in Sota or Kedushin, I can't remember where, that Ben Azai didn't. He says he didn't get married. And then in the Gemara there it says that he was doresh, that once you get married, right, and learn Torah. So the people say, Yesh no adoresh, vene na usa. There's some people who give good drushes but don't do good things. Ben Azai never got married. Right? So it says, Mani asev libi choshko b'torah. What can I do? But I'm married to the Torah. I couldn't marry anyone else. But over here you see that he did get married. Right? Because he married the daughter of Rabbi Akiva. So Tosfos suggests that they never got married. They only had a Rusin, and they never had a Nisuin. They never reached Nisuin, that he went out to learn, and they never returned to have Nisuin. Which is interesting, but anyway, but or the point was that he never returned to his wife. He was gone for many years in learning. What? Who? Ben Azai. Yeah, Ben, he's one of the four. Right? And never came back. That's it. Right. So Yosef braid the rova, Shadri Abu Ilabe Rav. Right, it's interesting, right? His father in law also, if that's the case, right? Because Akiva came back. Rabbi Yosef braid the rova, Shadri Abu Ilabe Rav. Rabbi Yosef, his son of Rav, sent his Abu Ilabe Rav, sent him to learn. The Kamedra of Yosef, to learn by Rabbi Yosef. Paskale Shitshone. He agreed for 6 years. After 3 years of learning, he came back. On Erev Yom Kippur, he came back to see. So he says, Amar Izel Vexino the Inche Beta, let me go see my house. He's gone for 3 years. Let me see what's going on with my house. Shamavui, his father heard he's coming back early. 3 years, he's coming back early. Shakal Mono Venafaklape. He took a stick and went out to beat him to send him back. Amalei Zonatach, and he's scared, or Yonatach and his carrot. What are you doing? You want to come back for your wife? Get back to learning. Right? We agreed for 6 years. You're going to break it up. You're going to come back. You're not going to go back. What's going to happen?
You didn't say it.
What? Okay, I know. That was the Lashon Saginar. Right? Ike de Amre, Itrud. Right? They got into such an argument. Lomar Yifsik. They were in such an argument. Both of them never had a chance to have a Sudam of Seket before Yom HaKippurim. They went straight into the fast. What? Oh, what did he do? Right, the Gemara has no conclusion about what happened. Gemara has no conclusion about it. But you see again this idea that a Ritzipus, the idea that of breaking up the learning was not acceptable. That what? That he learned, he was supposed to go for 6 years, he's coming home on Erev Yom Kippur. He can't even be with his wife on Yom Kippur, right? And yet, what? His father sends him right back, says, what are you doing breaking up the learning for 3 years? This idea of consistency and